Make the paper enough.
I'm going to call the October 10th, 2013 Code Enforcement Board meeting to order. Madam Secretary, if you'll call roll.
Ms. Lucas?
Here.
Ms. Cunde?
Here.
Mr. Smart?
Here.
Mr. Harrington?
Here.
Ms. Times called and said that she would not be able to make it today. Mr. Boards is not here, so we have, and Mr. Sino is here, and Mr. Brown.
We have a quorum.
All righty. Has everyone had a chance to review the September 12th, 2013 board meeting minutes?
I have a question.
Yes.
On this is just because my memory, I didn't write down what I should have. On case number one, on page three, the case was dismissed. Why was it dismissed? I can't remember. Do we dismiss routinely foreclosure cases?
Once it's after it gets to the board, then it's in your jurisdiction, and the staff asks for a dismissal, I believe, because it was close to sale.
Oh, it was close to sale. Yeah, I can't remember.
It was the one.
Toots.
It was CEBO 71379 on page 3 of the minutes.
Broken window, Florida and Pelican, and Georgetown.
Yes.
What?
It was up for sale. It was in foreclosure, and because of that, the windows boarded up. We dismissed it because now we have to recycle all over again.
Okay, fine. Thank you.
Any other questions regarding the minutes? If non, Chair will entertain a motion approving our meeting minutes for September 12th.
So moved.
Second.
Motion made by Mr. Harrington, seconded by Mr. Smart. Any discussion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Any board members need to disclose any ex parte communication?
Yes, it is. One of them is. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah, you probably should.
Okay. I have communications that I am turning in about, I don't know what case it is. It's a new case.
A new case?
Mm-hmm. Sorry, Oleander.
12.
Mm-hmm. So I'm just turning in the letter.
The clerk.
Yes.
Okay.
And I gave it to the clerk.
All right.
And it won't affect my decision.
Any other disclosures need to be made at this time?
Be proper for us to take a motion to excuse the absence of Ms. Hines.
Yeah, sure.
All right. Acknowledging Ms. Himes let us know that she would be out today due to illness of her husband. Chair will entertain a motion excusing her absence.
So moved.
Second.
Motion made by Ms. Kundick, seconded by Mr. Harrington. Any discussion? Seeing none. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Okay, motion carries. All righty. Any announcements at this time, Madam Secretary?
Yes, Mr. Brown, we do have one case that is in compliance that is not listed on the agenda that I'm aware of. It's number 11, CEB 071376, Robert B. Hume and Robert W. Hume. It was in compliance October 4th, 2013.
Also, Mr. Chair, we're asked that we move cases 15, 16, and 17. They're all related. There's an attorney that's in court this morning, and after we move that to the end of the agenda, or at least when we go around.
All three of these are together?
They're all, we would ask that they be heard.
All be moved?
Address.
Okay. So we're just going to move 15, 16, and 17 to the end of the agenda?
Yes.
Okay. All righty. All righty, ladies and gentlemen who will be testifying today, when you come forward, we ask that you please speak into the microphone as our proceedings are being recorded. All staff who's going to be swearing, who's going to be speaking today or testifying, please rise to be sworn in, please.
You solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Thank you.
All righty, any attorneys present this morning?
Yes, good morning.
All righty.
Mr. Chairman, my name is David Johnson. I'm here on behalf of Secured Capital Fund that is the...
Mr. Johnson, give me one second. Which case is it?
Oh, I'm sorry.
Number 89. We're combining them together.
Okay. We'll hear from the inspector first, and then we'll give you an opportunity to respond, Mr. Johnson, okay? Cases 8 and 9, members of the board.
Good morning, Mr. Chair, members of the board.
Good morning.
Good morning.
On case number 8 and 9, these are together. They're actually one case. One is external. The other one's an internal situation. As you see, one is related to the ceiling damage from a roof leak and exterior surface damage. The other one is termite infestation. They're here for imposition of a fine. The inspector is Daniel Garcia. And just for the record, I'm Anthony Jackson, representing the city. And you may recall last meeting, when we came forward, we had advised the board that we had gotten a contact from an attorney who asked if we could move it. We went ahead and did a finding of our non-compliance and with the anticipation of having it in compliance this month. The attorney is here, and he's expressed that there are some extenuating circumstances related to their efforts. It's a property that was foreclosed and owned by the bank, and there's some situations that they would need some time to remedy. I'll ask for him to explain that to the board, but in speaking with the staff has no problem with giving them an additional, giving them till the next cutoff to resolve everything.
Mr. Johnson, you'll come forward.
Let the record reflect that Mr. Bourne is here.
Yes.
Thank you. Good morning.
Morning.
As I said, my name is David Johnson. I represent Secured Capital that owns this property. The property in question was purchased out of a bankruptcy with a group of three properties. They were owned by the same person. Wells Fargo apparently had mortgages on these properties. They just brief background to these to the property in question. While they were in the bankruptcy, Wells Fargo filed motions to remove the stay on two of the properties, not this property that we're talking about, the 402 Butler Boulevard property. I subsequently contacted Wells Fargo, numerous people within Wells Fargo, and nobody there has any record of them holding a mortgage on that property. So to bring the board up to date, what we've done is we filed an action to quiet title. They've been served. Wells Fargo has been served, I think, a week ago now. So their 20 days is running. The property in question, the repairs are extensive. My client is seriously considering just, if they get control of the property, to ask for a demolition permit and, you know, demise the property. They may consider doing the repairs if it's cost effective, but I don't know that it's going to be. They are maintaining the outside of the property. I have to make sure that includes the back, but they are maintaining the outside of the property. What I'm hoping the board will consider is abating the fines for until the next meeting. The reason being that they have 20 days to respond to our action to quiet title. Frankly, I don't expect them to, because nobody in Wells Fargo has any records of them owning this property or having a mortgage on the property. So by that time, we will know if they're going to actually get control of the property. If they don't, then it doesn't make any sense for them to spend money to fix up a property that they're not going to own. So that at that point, they would quit claim it back to the bank. Again, what I expect to happen is that they're not going to answer, because nobody seems, in Wells Fargo seems to know they own it or they have a mortgage. So I would expect the 20 days has already started to run. That time will run before your next meeting, I believe. Is that correct? They've been served 7 days ago, so we have 13 days left for them to file an answer in the case. So if they don't file the answer, then my client's going to get control of the property, and then it would make sense for them to actually either fix it or demolish it. And so we're just asking the court to allow us time to find out if we're going to be able to do that.
Are there any tenants in this
property? No.
counsel, besides Wells Fargo, are there any other defendants?
No, there were, as far as I know, there were no other lien holders.
Legally, your client doesn't own the property anyway at this point, until they do require title.
They have, they, when the property goes into the bankruptcy, it becomes the property of the trustee. The trustee then can sell the deed, or the title to the property, which they did, but it's subject to any encumbrance that's on there. So they bought it, yes, they own it, but it's subject to the mortgage, so. And that's essentially, if anybody has any questions, I'll be answering the best I can.
Any questions from the board?
Who are your clients?
Secured Capital, it's a corporation that was formed specifically to buy these properties and hold them. It's a holding company.
A holding company, okay. This property, is this in a historic district?
I have no idea.
So
redevelopment.
No?
Redevelopment area.
It is an old building.
I think the repairs are fairly extensive.
They're really, really done.
I don't know that the building really is worth it to fix.
Make sure that I understand. Staff is asking for us to amend our previous order, allowing them until the next cutoff.
Yeah, we're asking for the next cutoff. We believe, and just from what counsel is saying, that there would be a diligent effort at least to demolish if that decision is made, and they probably can get a demolition through. This question whether they'll actually be able to get the repairs through, but we want to know that they're making a diligent effort towards that once they have control of the property. And so we'll have an opportunity to at least have our thumb on that at the next meeting. Either they'll hopefully be in compliance or be working diligently towards compliance.
So if the board desires to amend this till the 6th, is that enough time for a demo permit to be pulled?
I don't think for the demo permit will be enough time.
To be pulled, not done, but pulled.
Apply for it, yeah.
Okay,
yes.
Okay.
Have the actual demo permit in hand to try to do the demolition. It may exceed the 6th.
Right, but we will know if they've applied for
sure.
it.
Sure.
They should be able to have their answer, come in, apply for a demo permit if they choose to, and still make the actual cutoff date.
Okay.
But they are maintaining the outside of the property.
Yes.
Okay.
The answer was yes to that.
Any other questions from the board? Chair will entertain a motion amending our previous order and allowing the respondent until November 6, 2013 to bring the property into compliance or be returned to the board for consideration of a fine up to $1,000 per day, respectively, for cases 8 and 9 each.
So moved. Second.
Motion made by Mr. Smart, seconded by Mr. Harrington. Any discussion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Thank you, Mr. Johnson. Any other attorneys present today? All righty. We will go back to case number one, which is CB061363, Charles Tsai, property located at 700 Winchester Street, Shea. 700 Winchester Street. The respondent is present. Mr. Shea, he'll come forward and be sworn in, and then we'll hear from our inspector. Give you an opportunity to respond. Here from the attorney.
Hi. Good morning.
Can you say your name, please?
Charles.
Shea. Raise your right hand, please. You solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to provide is the truth,
and
nothing but the truth?
Yes, I swear.
Hello. This is case at 700 Winchester Street. And the inspector is John Stinson. The inspector reports that Mr. Shea is making good progress. I think we reported he was making some progress before, and he continues to make good progress. He is not done. The inspector is willing to give him one final, or requesting that the board allow him one final extension, so amending to the next cutoff, and expecting him to be in compliance by the next cutoff.
Mr. Shea, what would you like to say, sir?
Yes, I'm living in the property right now, and yesterday was supposed to have an inspection, but I still lack one, I think, inspection that's prior to the rental inspection. That's the drywall and the tile. And I called Suzanne yesterday, and she said she'll get that signed off and also the renter's permit probably next week. So we'll knock that out probably probably next Wednesday.
Okay.
Yeah.
There's a, Mr. Jackson, on our short notice, there are, you know, more 2 to 3 sentences of items that are mentioned. Giving him until November 6th, is that going to be, I know we're, you know, we've granted him an extension before. Do we need to look at moving to December, or should we be safe in saying November? So that, you know, we're just not coming back here each time to give it more time.
Mr. Chair, I'll ask the inspector to address that.
Since he is making progress, let me make sure we have that on the note. You know,
I believe the December cutoff would be more reasonable.
Okay. All right. Any other questions from the board?
So, Mr. Shea, you got all the permits that you needed. Now you're just getting inspections of the work that's been done?
Right. We got 4 out of 5 already.
Okay, good.
And I didn't know that I have to do for the owner permit, I had to call them myself to get it.
Okay.
Inspected. So I did call Suzanne yesterday. She was supposed to come yesterday for the renters, but she mm-hmm. said you're just missing one, and she's going to take care of that with the renters.
Okay.
And probably next week we'll get that done. Do I have to still have to come back if she gets it?
Once the board makes a decision, we'll let you know. But you can definitely stay in contact with Mr. Stenson.
Okay.
Any other questions from the board? Seeing none, Chair will entertain a motion amending our previous order and allowing the respondent until December 4th to bring the property into compliance to be returned to the board for consideration of a fine up to $1,000 per day and a one-time administrative fee of $250. Is there such a motion?
So moved.
Motion made by Mr. Smart.
Second.
Second by Mr. Harrington. Any discussion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion carries. What we've done, Mr. Shea has given you till December 4th. To bring the property into compliance, have all of the issues addressed so that if all goes in order on our December 12th agenda, it will say property is in compliance if all goes well.
Okay.
All right. So please don't abuse the extra time we've given you. We've given you time to try and fix the problem so you don't have to keep coming back letting us know that you're fixing the problems.
Right.
All
so
right.
All I have to do is get 2 signatures from Suzanne and then I'm pretty clear.
Talk with Mr. Stenson.
And then call you in on it.
Stay in contact with Mr. Sint.
Look through it one more time.
So you get signed off, call me.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir. All right. Case number 2 is in compliance as of September 19th, 2013. Case number 3, which is CB1112126, John and Francis Witherspoon. Property is located at 315 Michigan Avenue. Ms. Witherspoon is here. Ms. Witherspoon, if you'll come and be sworn in, we'll hear from my staff, and then we'll give you an opportunity to respond.
Hi.
Good morning.
I do. Francis Witherspoon.
All right. Thank you, Ms. Witherspoon. What can you tell us, Mr. Jackson?
Yes, this is the property at 315 Michigan Avenue, and we've been working with the Witherspoons for a little while now. And our last meeting, they were at the point where they had received all the approvals necessary from the city to go forward. And we were coming back today to give a time frame or timeline on when they will accomplish the things necessary for compliance. And so,
but there's been a change, and she's going to explain what they decided.
Excuse me, because this is emotional. Thank you. We have come to the determination that we cannot fix the house, so we're going to have to demolish. I'm so sorry. I mean, for me, not, you know, anyway. So we have that in the process now. John's in fact meeting with someone right now, a company, and we have 2 others scheduled today. Hopefully they all get done. And so it should move very quickly now.
Why do you need to demolish it?
The cost, you know, the fire, you know, was somewhat, but then just for the length of time since the fire, there's, you know, just been more damage, and it's just seems to be cost prohibitive. When the engineer came out, he was, you know, real honest and said, you know, we could try to get it through, but sometimes you...
Have you been in discussions to demo this and then build a residence? Is that going to require a whole different permitting than repairing?
It is a different permit, the demolition permit. And At this point, we're not planning to rebuild on it, because that, again, this being all just out of our pockets.
Yeah. So this property might be available for commercial development.
Right. And we actually own the two lots on US 1, and then the little house and lot, and then this property. So we have the four that go up to US 1. Certainly has not been our plan, but at this point we have to try to do what's best for not only the city but for us too. So that's where we are.
Sorry to hear that, Ms. Witherspoon. I know you and John both have spent a lot of time mm-hmm. trying to get this property to the point where you all could mm-hmm. Move into it as a home, but
yeah.
sometimes we have to face the reality of the facts that faces. So
yeah.
sorry to hear that you all have to come to that juncture. Mr. Garcia, what's the timeline for the acquisition of the permit? And
the next cutoff, 30 days to apply for the permits, and then...
Okay.
You know, one of the things that's so sad about this is that you were ready to fix it almost immediately.
When we purchased
after,
it
mm-hmm, at, and because of the convoluted zoning and uses and everything else, it just took so long a time that building was left to the elements when they were willing to. So it's been very difficult. So I'm sorry to hear that.
And Mr. Chair, from the code supervisor, we recognize that the Witherspoons have worked real hard mm-hmm. on all that they've done up to this point, and we have no problem with giving them some extra time to make sure that, one, as they work themselves through the difficult decisions, but also to it's a large structure to get everything done. So mm-hmm. Instead of the next cutoff, if we can give them the... following, that would be probably a little bit more.
No problem. No problem. Any other questions? Chair, I'll entertain a motion amending our previous order and allowing the respondent till December 4th to bring the property in compliance to be returned to the board for consideration of a fine up to $1,000 per day. Is there such a motion?
So moved.
Motion made by Mr. Smart, seconded by Mr. Bourne. Any discussion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Thank you again, Ms. Witherspoon, for taking the time out of you all's schedule to try and bring this property back up to habitation, if you will. Case number 4, CB081380, Salvatore and Linda LaMonaco, property located at 219 Magnolia Avenue. Is the respondent present?
Representative.
Come to the mic and state your name. And give us your address and let us know your relationship to the owner, please.
Yes. My name is Glenn Canfield. I'm with GC Contractor Services, and I'm here representing the owner and finish up his cold issues.
Okay. Can you raise your right hand, please, sir? Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes, I do.
Okay. Did you say GC Contractor?
GC.
Okay.
Yeah. Your last name again, sir?
Canfield.
Okay, Mr. Canfield, we'll hear from our inspector, our attorney, and then we'll give you an opportunity to respond. Okay,
okay.
Sir?
The inspector advises this is a case at the property of 219 Magnolia Avenue. The inspector is Stanley Garcia, and he informs me that the property is in nearly in compliance, probably will take another week or so to reach compliance, and so he's in agreement for additional time to the next cutoff for compliance to be achieved.
Okay. Mr. Canfield, anything to add?
No, it should be taken care of.
Yeah.
Okay.
They should have it done in a week.
It just rained. We would have had it done before
the rain
then.
Was keeping him back. He doesn't have much more on the west side and in the rear, just a little painting.
Okay. Any questions from the board? Chair will entertain a motion amending our previous order and allowing the respondent until November 6, 2013 to bring the property into compliance to be returned to the board for consideration of a fine up to $1,000 per day. Is there such a motion?
So moved.
Motion made by Mr. Smart.
Second.
Seconded by Mr. Harrington. Any discussion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Thank you, sir.
All right, thank you.
Yes, sir. Case number CB031336, Monica Allen Smith Estate, property located at 915 School Street. Is the respondent present?
Yes, I
am. Yes, come to the microphone, introduce yourself, state your name, relationship to the property owner.
Good morning.
Good morning. John Harvey Smith, 915 School Street, the son of the deceased parents, Daniel Lewis and Monica Smith.
Can you raise your right hand, please? Sir, you solemnly swear or affirm the testimony you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
All right, thank you, Mr. Smith. We'll hear from our attorney, and then we'll give you an opportunity to respond.
Mm-hmm. Yes, please.
Yes, this is the property at 915 School Street. The inspector's Edwin Lopez. The board may recall that Mr. Glasser was here last month advising us of something that had delayed this case for some time, that was trying to resolve a pending foreclosure that now appears to be set back and not occurring. What we have is our last order required him to be in compliance with all the non-roof issues, and the inspector report said that has been done. He is in compliance with all non-roof issues, and so we're at the point to determine the compliance state regarding the roof.
Okay, what do we have?
Okay. Thank you.
And the request of the staff is that he be in compliance with the roof in 60 days.
Okay.
Getting the permit no later than by the next cutoff. That's all.
Okay. Mr. Smith, what can you tell us, sir?
At this point, I was just informed by my attorney that we are still in the process of receiving notice of the original death certificate for my mother to initiate probate as well. And I told him I didn't really need him to discuss the issue at the point, at the juncture where we are right now. We are right now in the process of probate, of initiating probate. I have an appointment on the 24th of this month as well. And once the property is in fully in with my name and my disabled brother's name, we're doing it together. At that point, I would like to, again, as I stated before, seek, if I can, assistance, some sort of assistance, if the city, county, in helping to repair the roof issue. And also, I did have a question as well, too, for me. At this point, the garage roof, it's I was just wondering, is it easy at this point, would it be easy for me just to remove just remove that roof, period, without putting another one?
Definitely not for the board.
Okay, because that's further down the road, because I'm really not, that's not in use right now, and I just figured if it could be like an open patio, that would solve everything. I don't know.
Okay, let me make sure I understand what you're saying, Mr. Mm-hmm. Smith. The staff has recommended that we give you until December 4th to mm-hmm. have the roof fixed.
Mm.
You're indicating that you're still in probate. Is that to indicate that you do not have the funds to fix the roof?
Not at all. Yes, sir, not at the present. I'm sorry. And I was inquiring as to whether that can just remove the timber, the rotten timber, that just remove the roof. It's, 16 by 20?
You would have to get with the inspector.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, what he's speaking of, remedy options, and we'll, you know, the inspector said he can talk with him about that. Obviously, those will his options.
Mm-hmm.
And as long as he can get those things approved and get permits for whatever he needs done. As to finances, we typically have financial situations that we're not able to overcome. I think what we start with, though, is knowing that someone is diligently doing everything they can to accomplish the compliance. And in this situation, we think 60 days would be at least reasonable time for him to accomplish it. But if it's not accomplished, to do everything diligently that he can to get it accomplished.
Okay. Very good.
Any questions from the board?
Yeah. So, is it necessary for us to wait for probate to make some kind of decision to?
No, it's not necessary. They won't release funds until at least 90 days.
So when the funds are released, will you then have the money to fix the roof?
Funds, in reference to what funds?
The estate.
This is not a recent demise. My mother died 8 years ago. I'm finally getting the property into my name as well. All this came about, of course, as you know, it's the basis of a citizen's complaint from a neighbor that had altercation with, and this is the end result. But it needs to be done. It needs to be done as well. But funding, there are no funds available. And probate would initiate it and would put it into my name. Right now it's in the estate of Monica Allen Smith, my deceased mother, as well. So with it in my name, with a living person, that way I can hopefully obtain funding to repair the roof or remove it more or whatever needs to be done.
And just for clarification, this is what I was understanding. It's not an issue of the funding.
Right.
It's an issue of you ownership, trying to make sure you get the ownership, and then you just have a financial issue
that's
in general.
Exactly correct.
The ownership issue itself, that won't prevent him from getting permits. Just he won't be able to pull it as owner. He'll have to use a contract. Just my understanding, and if, yeah.
Okay.
And I'll search for a nod from the supervisor.
In order to do repairs as an owner, you have to own the house and live in the house.
Okay.
If you don't live in the house and you and the house is a rental, or just the mere fact that you don't live there, you have to hire an outside contractor.
Right. Okay.
Well, the outside contractor at present state probably could pull the permits for him and do the necessary work, but I'm assuming that he'd like to pull the permits himself and possibly do the work himself, mm-hmm. or go along that route. Without the house being in his name, he won't be able to pull the permits.
Gotcha. Any other questions from the board? All righty. Chair will entertain a motion amending our previous order, allowing the respondent until December 4th, 2013, to bring the property in compliance for return to the board for consideration of a fine up to $1,000 per day. Is there such a motion?
So moved.
Motion made by Mr. Smart.
You need a second.
Seconded by Mr. Harrington. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign?
Aye.
One aye?
Mm-hmm.
All right, motion carries. Mr. Smith, we've given you until December 4th to bring the property in compliance, and again, just stay in contact with the inspector.
Of course.
Ladies
and gentlemen of the board, thank you for your time. Patience.
Yes, sir.
Thank you.
All righty. Next case is CB091399, Luis E. Gonzalez and Alyssa Thomas. Property located at 332 South Seagrave Street. Is the respondent present?
Yes.
Yes, sir. If you come forward, introduce yourself, your relation to the respondent, if you're not the respondent, please.
Yes. My name is Luis Gonzalez. I'm the owner of 332 South Seagrave. Yes, I do.
All right, Mr. Gonzalez, we'll hear from the attorney, then we'll give you an opportunity to respond. What can you tell us, Mr. Jackson?
This is a case at 332 South Seagrave Street, and the board can be reminded from the last order, and I'm looking at that. Again, this is a similar order as the previous case where mm-hmm. we wanted all things not related to the roof to be in compliance for this date,
mm-hmm.
and then the final compliance date is December 4th. And also it was to obtain permits, and those things have occurred. He's done both. And so as far as those matters that were coming for the board today, he's in compliance with those matters. He still needs to become in compliance with the roof by December 4th.
So this was an update, more or less?
Well, in that regard, it is, yes.
Gotcha. All righty. Anything you want to share with us, Mr. Gonzalez? If not, you are still on your original timeline of having everything done by the 4th of December.
Okay. Due with all the rain, I'm hoping I can have it done by December 4th, but it rains like every other day.
Okay.
So I don't want to open up my roof and then it starts raining. Maybe in December, I'll have to up for another. My permit for, I think, 180 days. 90 days, I think it is, 3 months. So.
If you run into any complications, it's best to contact Mr. Lopez so that he can be aware of what's going on and what's delaying it, so if it comes back to the board, he can let us know.
Okay.
All right.
No problem.
All right. Any questions from the board? All right. Thank you, Mr. Gonzalez.
Thank you.
Case number 7, CB091398, Main Street Properties 1, LLC, property located at 228 Fairview Avenue. Is the respondent present? What can you tell us, Mr. Jackson?
Just one moment. Yes, members of the board, this is the property at 228 Fairview Avenue, the inspector Stanley Garcia. This was for the board for violation of no building permit for the new wooden ramp. We do have had some correspondence with someone on behalf of the property making promises, but nothing's occurred. And so we're at the point where all we are left to do is, all we can do is ask for a fine to be imposed. And so we ask that you impose a $50 per day fine to $15,000.
Is someone residing in the home?
They were. Someone was in the back. He built that ramp for a person in the back, built it without a permit. Within going back there, that's when I also cited the building in the back that it was in real bad shape with peeling paint. He did paint that, but he never got the permit for the ramp. I said, well, you can remove it, but then what he did was he was going to do that, but he took the concrete steps and he eliminated it. So he would still have to get a permit for that. So he decided on leaving it and getting a contractor and getting that permit, but he hasn't done so. I've been getting emails from his secretary. He's looking. He's got one. He's got one on board now, but I keep checking our Track-It system, and it shows nothing, not even applied.
Can you tell us who owns Main Street property?
It's David. It's Main Street Property is one LLC, but it's a guy named David DeCeltis, yeah.
So he also
owns, and he's put it up for sale. He's also owned two others across the street from there that both have done work without permits. And
I guess it shouldn't weigh any on the decision. Usually those ramps go up for people that need access via wheelchair, yeah. And that's why I was asking if the property was vacant or if it was
the just person that was in the rear is not. It was moved across the street.
So no one's there?
That I know of, no.
All right. Question answered. Any other questions from the board? Seeing none, chair will entertain a motion. Fine the respondent $50 a day with a cap of $15,000 or until the property is brought into compliance. Is there such a motion?
So moved.
Second. Motion made by Mr. Bourne, seconded by Mr. Smart. Any discussion?
Effective today.
Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion carries. All righty, case number 8 and 9 have been disposed of. Case number 10, CEB 09131 05, GEA Seaside Investments. Property located at 121 South Grandview Avenue. Is the respondent present? Come to the microphone, sir. Introduce yourself and your relationship to the property owner.
Yes, good morning. My name is Joe Hopkins. I'm with the performance group at 100 Marina Point Drive here in Daytona Beach. It is, yes.
Your last name again?
Hopkins.
Hopkins. Okay, Mr. Hopkins, we'll hear from the attorney and then we'll give you an opportunity to respond, sir.
Members of the board, Mr. Chair, this is the property the case at 121 South Grandview Avenue, the inspector, Stanley Garcia. I spoke with Mr. Hopkins on this case, and basically the status of the case right now is that the trash and debris has been taken care of. The issue related to the no building permit remains. I think our last conversation assumed it to be something that would be easily remedied, and that just hasn't happened. The position of staff right now is requesting a fine of $100 per day to $15,000, but I do know that Mr. Hopkins wanted to be heard.
Okay. Mr. Hopkins, yes, sir. Come forward.
Yes, sir. I think what initially triggered this was the debris. One of the residents left the building, and there was a pile of debris, which was quite unsightly. That was removed. But then there was also some flashing that was installed. I advised the property owner to have it removed. I know that he was engaged in trying to secure a contractor. I was at the property as recently as yesterday, and it hasn't been done. I attempted to contact the owner to find out what the time period was. I've not spoken with him as of this morning, but it's, as I reported in the last meeting, this isn't an issue of life, safety, health, welfare. It's a small piece of flashing by 1 inch by 1 inch that was installed, but I apologize that it hasn't been done, and I can't give you a better report. It's probably a 15-minute job to remove this flashing, but it hasn't been done yet. That's all I can say.
Are you the consultant?
Yes, sir, I am.
On this, but you have no stake in the property.
That's correct.
Danny. Mr. Garcia.
What I like to add on that is that just removing the flashing is not going to solve the problem. I got a separate, another case with the unit one right under it. There's leaks. There's stains of leaks that were there before. There are other issues, but I spoke to two different contractors, and one yesterday left me a message, Joe Pappas from Performance Group. It's a civil engineer. Okay. And another one that said that that the work that needed to be done, it was the surface is not even, and it there's water getting in there somehow. So
Danny, did they need a building permit for the upper balcony?
At the time that they did the work, they did need one. So
that work's been done? The upper balcony work has all been done?
Yes, yeah. That was done without a permit. And that's what we're...
That was done without a permit?
Right.
Okay. So the issue is... The flashing on
that's what he's saying. I don't know if it's just the flashing. The thing is that it was work that was done without a permit, and once that permit was obtained, I can close the case out. But I'm now getting other complaints of water leaking in and on it. It may be because of the work that was done wasn't correct.
There's
a woman
living
under there. Yeah.
Okay.
So he's going to have a contractor do this work. So he has to have the contractor apply for the.
That's what I was told.
It's not done.
Okay. Mr. Hopkins,
yes, Mr. Chairman, I think there's just a fundamental debate on the work that was done on the balcony. Exactly what triggers a requirement for a permit, and I think I need to help navigate through that a little bit. I'm of the opinion that the covering that was put on the deck did not require a permit. It's like putting carpet in your house. You don't need a permit to put that type of covering on there, and I presented that to you last time I was here. The flashing that was put in is a small metal flashing underneath the deck, and that, I believe, would require a permit. Now, I was aware that there is another complaint relative to this property, and it's something about a door and some leaking and so forth. I think there's a little bit more that needs to be researched on this and figure out what the problem is, and it needs a strong resolution. And I mean, as a civil engineer, I can go in and provide some recommendations, but we do need a general contractor. This is a commercial property, and we need a general contractor to pull a permit. So right. I'm not here to make up excuses. I'm here to address it. We'll get it done and try to get something engaged. If we incur the fine, I'm just at a loss at this point.
Well, let me state up front, Mr. Hopkins, we appreciate your presence, but what we like to see is action by the owner. And again, you can't act unless the owner authorizes you to act and take care of the problems at hand. And a lot of times owners need a little encouragement, and that's what we can do.
I respect that.
As the board is encourage the owner to take some action to fix the problems that we can see, again, not before us, but problems that may be continuing to grow with other issues because of one problem not being addressed. So definitely... and no disrespect to you, but the owner needs to take some action with regards to the property.
I appreciate that.
That is under their ownership. Yes, sir, Mr. Smart.
Mr. Garcia, I have a question. I'm looking at the last month's minutes, and it said that the upper balcony, the work was done without a permit, and it was done incorrectly. Is it still incorrect?
I believe so. I'm not a
building inspector to state that it was, but it's not even. It's rippled where water can get inside. It just it was done without the permit, and that's what I cited it for, and that's what I've been waiting for.
If there had been a permit, it would have been
inspected. If he got a permit, it would have been inspected. The inspector would have came in, said it was done, whether it was done correctly or not, whether he had to redo it or whether he could have kept it like that, and gave him the permit, approved it.
So regardless of the other issues, we've still got that problem.
Right. I mean, the inspector cited, Mr. Smart, that the trash and debris has been removed, so we're here today to consider just the no building permit, which was the, technically, if you will, not even the main issue, but that's the issue at hand. What was recommendation from staff as far as the fine?
Was $100 per day.
Cap of 15?
Yes.
Okay. Any other questions from the board? Seeing none, Chair will entertain a motion fining respondent $100 a day with a cap of $15,000 effective today. Is there such a motion?
So.
Motion made by Mr. Smart, seconded by Mrs. Kundig. Any discussion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Again, Mr. Hopkins, what the board has done is given the owner a little encouragement to get the problems fixed. The fine goes into effect today with a cap of $15,000. But again, it's at the liberty of the board to reconsider the fines that we have initiated when we see problems are fixed and not being fixed, but they are fixed. So, but again, please stay in contact with Mr. Garcia along the process so that we can know when this is fixed.
Fair enough. Thank you very much.
All right. Thank you, sir. Case number 11, we've dealt with this in compliance as of October 4th, 2013. Case number 12, CEB 061356, James Joseph Rikiki, property located at 488 Gulf Avenue. Is the respondent present? All right. What can you tell us, Mr. Jackson?
I'll ask if the board can hear from the inspector. This case is 488 Gulf Avenue. The inspector is Mike Fitzgerald. I'll remind the board that this is the case where Mr. Rikiki, we were asking for a fine last month. He expressed some extenuating circumstances why he didn't have things remedied. And part of our concern with him was that he had been expressing that he was going to seek a variance, and he had not at that time.
Right.
And so we're here today to see if indeed that's what he's done, or if we're here at the point of finding out. I don't have that follow-up yet with clarity, so if I could just...
He has indeed applied for the variance.
Okay.
There's a zero balance owed. The variance date will be the 27th of this month. Would be the board hearing right there, and at that time we'll know.
So if we amend and allow till November 6th, we'll know something at our November 14th meeting?
At this time, that would be correct.
Mike, you're much closer than me, and I have four eyes, but I can't see that. So. All righty. Any questions from the board? Chair will entertain a motion amending our previous order, allowing the respondent until November 6, 2013 to bring the property into compliance, be returned to the board for consideration of a fine up to $1,000 per day. Is there such a motion?
So moved.
Second.
Motion made by Mr. Bourne, seconded by Mr. Smart. Any discussion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Moving on to our new cases, case number 13, CEB 1013109, Randall Dell Thurber, property located at 912 North Oleander Avenue. Is the respondent present? Seeing not, what can you tell us, Mr. Jackson?
This is the property at 912 North Oleander Avenue. The status of this case is this is a continuous problem, and we have a witness here who would like to speak to that, Ms. Remark, so I'd like to bring her forward. We are asking that this be one of those cases where we ask for a finding of compliance and then, of non-compliance and then compliance.
And then you do what you do.
Yes. But if you, we'd ask if you could hear from Ms. Remark.
I've been here before. Tracy Remark, 815 North Oleander Avenue, Daytona Beach.
Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony about to provide is the truth, all the truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes, I do.
Thank you.
Thank you, board. I first started actually calling in when I went back through my little notes on this property in February of this year for yard parking, and then again in April, and then again in May, and then again in June. And Mr. Klig had contact with the property owner, and the case was opened when, with that contact, nothing happened except continued yard parking. And we're not talking just one car, we're talking three or four, and not only in the front yard, but to the side of the driveway as well. I'm part of your ex parte communication because I thought this was going to be on the July code agenda, and I wrote all of you except Mr. Smart. I had the wrong address, so I got his letter back because I did not think, I could not be at that meeting, so I wanted to offer that as testimony. That hasn't changed. That continued through July and through August. And the reason I happen to notice this, I get to go by this property every morning going to work and every afternoon coming home. And since the initial case was opened in June on August 20th, I could give you times and dates, but our times and what was where, but I'll just give you the dates that they had additional vehicles parked in their yard: August 20th, September 1st, September 3rd, September 8th, September 18th. Finally, since September 18th, they have made a great effort to make sure that they do not use their front lawn as a parking lot. But the other thing that I hope that you do is to impose a will fine, because actually this property, if you go back in your code, has a history of this going back to 2004. They originally, with Jane Carton was the inspector, they finally actually enlarged their driveway to make sure that they had enough parking. But even with the enlarged driveway, they have gone back to their yard. And not only with cars, but at least until the police showed up a couple of years ago, every bike week their front yard became an RV camp. So I just hope that you do a will fine. It would certainly save the inspector time and save me time and save the board time to not have to continuously go through a notice of violation and finding of compliance over and over again. Thank you very much. Any questions?
Thank you, Ms. Remark. Any questions?
Are these residents or visitors?
These are residents. It's a larger family, but yes, these are residents. One is the white van that shows up is a work vehicle. It doesn't meet, it's not a commercial vehicle. It doesn't have any signage on it or anything like that. It doesn't meet it's under the tonnage requirement. But that's a work vehicle. But it's the same cars, and it's nothing new, and I just know where they park. Anything else?
Mark, could you be so kind in the future, send a letter to the clerk, she'll give it to everybody.
Oh, absolutely. Okay.
Save you time and money.
Okay.
And we don't have to worry about ex-party communication.
Okay. Well, actually, I've never actually done that. It was a very unique circumstance, but if it ever happens again, I will do that.
You can't do that. I'm just saying,
right.
Send it to the clerk.
Absolutely.
Everybody, there's no ex-party communication.
Absolutely. Thank you very much for that information.
And Ms. Remark, if I can say, who I've known for a very long time and as a former member of the board when I was a counselor to the board, one of the things, the practice of the board here is that if they get something, they probably won't even look at it. They'll just deliver it to this. So they really didn't. Most of them probably didn't even look
right,
at it.
Right. I figured that. I mean, I remember that being on the board, but I just didn't know what else to do. So.
Yeah. But yes, Mr. Sino said I was going to make that same suggestion. That if you send it to the board secretary, she'll make sure that it's available for the meeting for the presentation. Same thing with the magistrate.
Great. I only act.
We
like
got your letter a week after we had a workshop by an attorney who told us we couldn't talk to anybody, hear anything, or discuss anything about a case prior.
I know the code board is different.
Yeah, we're different.
I know you're different. I just didn't know how else to do it. But thank you for the information, and I will not step on those toes again.
Thank you.
I think the inspector wanted to mention one more thing.
I think you want to talk about the signs, too. The signs are talking.
Oh, well, I do appreciate that they want their neighbors to be happy. It's interesting since calling that these signs have shown up. But I'm not asking you to do anything about the signs. That is their First Amendment right. And certainly, if they want their neighbors to be happy, all they have to do is just use their driveway for their parking. But that is their First Amendment right, and it's as long as it's not in the right-of-way, have at it. And as long as it's not obscene, have at it. Anything else?
Thank you. All righty. Anything else, Mr. Jackson?
No, as I requested, if we can just make the finding of noncompliance and compliance.
Yeah. All right.
They were in noncompliance, and now in compliance, and the case will be dismissed.
Gotcha.
Then come back there to repeat violation.
All right. All right. Chair will. Is that a motion or just a finding?
Okay.
Chair will entertain a motion. Find a respondent previously in noncompliance, currently in compliance, and ask that the case be dismissed. Is there such a motion?
That essentially you don't have to add all the stuff about if it happens again.
No, it's already done.
Okay.
There's such a motion.
Moved.
Motion made by Mr. Harrington.
Second.
Second by Mr. Bourne's. Any discussion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Just so you know, Ms. Lucas, what we've done, that's the first time you've heard that. Whenever a case comes before us and it's a repeat case, we used to make a motion that if it repeated itself, we would, authorize a will find. So that language we did not have to add in. It's already in our ordinance for that to take place, just FYI. All right, next case, CB 1013110, Gabriel Jimenez and Ms. Velasco. Property located at 611 Weber Avenue. Is the respondent present? Seeing not, what can you tell us, Mr. Jackson?
Okay. This is the property at 611 Weber Avenue. It's before the board for a finding of compliance or noncompliance, outside storage, failure to maintain the exterior. The property is in noncompliance, and the staff is requesting next cutoff for them to come into compliance. This also requests that the board authorize the staff to secure the residence. This is a vacant residence, and there hasn't been any contact with anyone at the residence, or regarding no response to anyone. It had to be, I don't know, did we get a response on the certified mail? I'm trying to follow this. Okay, no response on certified mail.
Mr. Jackson, you requested that we authorize to secure. What needs to be secured? That we usually do that with regards to pools.
I did get a signature for the notice of hearing and notice of violation. I can't read it, but it looks like on 9/28/13 there was a signature for the, and it was also posted.
Okay.
Well, our understanding is one of the owners either moved to Mexico or at least he's physically there now. He's out of country. And but the status, as you can see, broken windows and such would leave it open to vagrants. And
okay.
So.
All right. Any other questions from the board? Chair will entertain a motion finding the respondent in noncompliance, allowing the respondent until November 6, 2013 to bring the property into compliance or be returned to the board for consideration of a fine up to $1,000 per day. Also authorizing staff to take the necessary steps to secure the property.
So moved.
Motion made by Mr. Smart, seconded by Mr. Bourne's. Any discussion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion carries. We will move now to case number 18, CB 1013114, John Charles Bergengren. Property located at 65 River Dunes Drive. Is the respondent present? Seeing not, what can you tell us, Mr. Jackson?
This is a case at 65 River Dunes Drive. The inspector is Michael Fitzgerald. It's before the board for finding a compliance or noncompliance on violations of an unsightly lawn, overgrown hedges, bushes and trees, and foundation wall cracks. The property is a vacant property, and I will ask Mr. Fitzgerald to give any further update as to the status in determining what how much time it would take to put them to come into compliance.
He has removed the dead tree. He's had his lawn done. He's hired an architect, David Leach. Mr. Leach is drawing the documents on how to fix the wall, and will be hiring a contractor to do that and overseeing it for the owner. Mr. Leach will be having the documents ready probably by the end of the month and be able to pull the permits next month.
Okay. So are we looking best at December 4th?
Yes, sir.
All right. Any other questions from the board? Chair will entertain a motion find a respondent in noncompliance, allowing the respondent to come into compliance by December 4th, 2013, and be returned to the board for consideration of a fine up to $1,000 per day. Is there such a motion?
So moved.
Motion. Such a motion. I said motion or vote. Which one?
No, you said motion.
Motion.
Oh.
Second vote.
Okay. Motion made by Ms. Kundig, seconded by Mr. Smart. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. All righty, motion carries. Case number 19, CB1013115, Ethel Tiffany Estate, property located at 919 Wild Olive Avenue. Is the respondent present? Seeing not, what can you tell us, Mr. Jackson?
The property at 919 North Wild Olive Avenue, inspector is Michael Fitzgerald. It's before the board for compliance or noncompliance. The violations are peeling, fading paint, loose, missing, and rotten wood or materials. The property is currently vacant, and the inspector is asking for a finding of noncompliance and giving them till next cutoff to come into compliance.
All righty. Chair will entertain a motion find a respondent in noncompliance, allowing the respondent till November 6, 2013 to bring their property into compliance and be returned to the board for consideration of a fine up to $1,000 per day. Is there such a motion?
So.
Motion made by Mr. Smart.
Second.
Seconded by Mr. Harrington. Any discussion?
Has the estate been notified?
Yes, sir. I mean, we've sent the documents to them. Have we received anything? It was posted.
No response.
No response.
Any other questions? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Case number CB1013116, Neil Olszewski, property located at 639 El Dorado Street. Is the respondent present? Seeing not, what can you tell us, Mr. Jackson? He can't tell us anything.
Yes, sir. This is the property at 639 El Dorado Street. The inspector is Edmund Lopez. And this is before the board for a finding of compliance or noncompliance. This is a four-unit apartment building. There has been some work done. The inspector is requesting noncompliance next cutoff for them to come into compliance.
Chair, I'll entertain a motion find a respondent noncompliance, allowing the respondent till November 6, 2013 to bring the property into compliance to be returned to the board for consideration of a fine up to $1,000 per day. Is there such a motion?
So moved.
Motion made by Mr. Smart, seconded by Mr. Borns. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Let's wrap up 21 and 22, and then we'll go back to the cases for the attorney. Case number 21, CB1013117. Raymond Brewster, property located at 341 Fulton Street. Is the respondent present? Seeing not, what can you tell us, Mr. Jackson?
Okay, we're discussing 341 Fulton Street. Inspector Edwin Lopez, and the noted violations. Ms. Lopez advises that he's had communication with the owner. The property is vacant, and that this is a complaint issue, and he's requesting noncompliance next cutoff for compliance.
Chair will entertain a motion find a respondent in noncompliance, allowing the respondent until November 6, 2013 to bring the property into compliance to be returned to the board for consideration of a fine up to $1,000 per day. Is there such a motion?
So moved.
Motion made by Ms. Kundig.
Second.
Seconded by Mr. Borns. Any discussion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Case number CB1013118, Larry C. Williams, property located 834 Magnolia Avenue. Is the respondent present? Seeing not, what can you tell us, Mr. Jackson?
Okay, the property at 834 Magnolia Avenue is before the board for compliance or noncompliance. The violations of roof and drainage. It's a vacant property, and the inspector is requesting noncompliance next cutoff for compliance.
Chair will entertain a motion finding the respondent in noncompliance, allowing the respondent till November 6th to bring the property into compliance, to be returned to the board for consideration of a fine up to $1,000 per day. Is there such a motion?
So moved.
Motion made by Mr. Smart.
Second.
Seconded by Ms. Kundig. Any discussion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion carries. The attorney stepped outside. Case number 23, CEB1013119, Johnny Van Session, property located, vacant lot located off of Orange Avenue. Is the respondent present? Seeing not, what can you tell us, Mr. Jackson?
This is the property, vacant property there at, as indicated on the agenda, owned by Mr. Sessions. It's before the board for a finding of compliance, noncompliance. This is an ongoing issue as far as the upkeep. The inspector advises that there was a crew out there working on it, so he would like to give them till the next cutoff to be in compliance.
All right. Chair will entertain a motion finding the respondent in noncompliance, allowing the respondent till November 6, 2013 to bring the property into compliance, be returned to the board for consideration of a fine up to $1,000 per day. Is there such a motion?
Second.
Motion made by Mr. Bourne, seconded by Mr. Smart. Any discussion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Case number CEB1013120, Lindsay and Doreen Damskov, property located at 1175 Peachtree Road. Is the respondent present?
Yes.
If you can come to the microphone, state your name, sir. Be sworn in.
Lindsay Damskov, 1175 Peachtree Road, Daytona Beach.
Raise your right hand, please, sir. Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Mr. Damskov, we'll hear from staff, and then we'll give you an opportunity to respond, sir.
Thank you.
Members of the board, the inspector informs the inspectors, Elton Lopez, and he informs me that this property is in compliance as of 10-9-13. But in his communication with Mr. Damskov requested the ability to address the board, and so he afforded him that opportunity.
Okay. Let the record reflect this property is in compliance as of October 9, 2013, but the respondent...
Let me advise Mr. Damskov that you can certainly address the board, but the board can certainly just change your decision. So I want you to...
I understand, sir.
You're right here.
No.
Get what you ask for, you may get it.
No, that's not what it's about at all.
All right. Mr. Damskov, yes, sir.
The second week of August, I received communication from the city of Daytona Beach regarding my fence being out of compliance. I contacted Mr. Lopez at that time and requested that he provide me with some photos, which he did. He was very accommodating. And it showed that I had a missing board on one side of my fence. I live 1,200 miles away. This is a second home. I contacted my brother, and I said, can you go over and take care of this? He said, sure, not a problem. He did take some time, and I did ask Mr. Lopez to grant me a little bit extra time because my brother works, you know, and he has to come over there to do it. It was taken care of. Then I received a notice of hearing that I was not in compliance. So I then contacted Mr. Lopez again, and Mr. Lopez indicated to me that the fence was not in compliance. I said, what was the problem? He says, part of the fence, that picture right there, looks terrible. And it does. Then he sent me a picture of the other side of the fence, which was not included in the first batch of pictures. So I didn't have the opportunity to take care of it properly because I haven't been there since April. I thought this was very unfair. As you can see, it's properly taken care of now, painted, fixed, everything. But he also indicated that the fence on the south side of my house was all mine, which it is not. Half of it belongs, that fence, belongs to my neighbor. I can't own a fence on my neighbor's property. So I could not take care of that but he implied that that should be my responsibility. He said that I told him I owned the entire fence, which, of course, is legally impossible. I can't own a fence on my neighbor's property. My complaint was I just thought it was handled very poorly. I don't mind taking care of my property. I love this neighborhood. It's a gorgeous neighborhood. It's got a lot of great houses in it that look superb, terrific for property value, but I just think that it was not handled properly. And I had to make a 1,200-mile trip at my expense to correct this situation.
Mr. Damscovely, thank you for your testimony and relaying your concerns, but the proper chain of command, if you will, be to contact Mr. Lopez's supervisor, which is Mr. Garcia, in the future. And again, you can save yourself the time.
I appreciate it.
Just
but
by
I still had to come down because
I
was hit. I was blindsided with the other side of the fence. My brother works a lot and did not have time to do it. So, of course, I made a 1,200-mile trip at my expense to paint a fence.
Gotcha.
So how did you resolve the half of the fence that wasn't yours?
I didn't. It's not mine.
So it's still the same way?
Yes, it is. I took care of my half. I cleaned, painted, scraped, did all the right stuff because I'm proud of my house. I want it to look nice.
And
I
appreciate
your time.
We appreciate you taking care of your property, sir.
Thank you so much, sir.
Thank you. Case number 25, CB1013121, property located at 319 San Juan Avenue. Christopher House of Hope is the respondent, is a representative here. Seeing not, what can you tell us, Mr. Jackson?
This is the property at 319 San Juan Avenue. The inspector is Edward Lopez. This is before the board for determination of compliance or noncompliance. And there are the listed violations are on the agenda. Mr. Lopez advises that this property is a vacant property, that the property is in noncompliance or remains in noncompliance, and is asking the board to give next cutoff for compliance.
Chair will entertain a motion finding the respondent in noncompliance, allowing the respondent till November 6, 2013 to bring the property into compliance to be returned to the board for consideration of a fine up to $1,000 per day. Is there such a motion?
So moved.
Second.
Motion made by Mr. Bourne, seconded by Mrs. Kundig. Any discussion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Case number 15, page 4, CB1013111, Ocean Breeze Homeowners Condominium Association, property located at 439 Auburn Drive. All three of the, let's see here.
Auburn,
these are units.
Auburn.
But these are units, so we have to take them individually. These are units.
Am I correct? You take them together.
You can take them all together?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, they're all different. No, they're not.
There's two units and one's a common.
Right.
Which case is this?
15, 16, and 17.
Give me one second.
I'm competent? Well, I appreciate that.
All right.
I guess it's a common area until you're doing this.
Okay. If you could state your name for the record.
Good morning. My name is Stephen De La Roche. I'm the attorney for the Condominium Association.
Mr. De La Roche, question we have for you. Case number 16 and 17 are individual units. Are you representing those property owners as well?
I'm not representing those property owners. I only represent the Homeowners Association.
Okay, so we're just here for case number 16.
But the solution will all be related. And
yep.
Whether we take them together or apart, I mean, we'll be talking about the same
okay.
thing.
Would you like
all
to
right.
step forward?
I had two different addresses for Ocean Breeze Homeowners Association. There was one in Miami and then another one in Daytona.
It's the one in Daytona. I don't understand why Miami Lakes was listed on there. Sometimes when an incorporation is done by the lowest bidder, they make themselves the person of contact, and that may have happened long before I became involved in this.
Okay. The Miami address is on the property appraiser's website, but the state, the Sundis Corporation website, I saw the Daytona address, so I did send it to both. I just wanted to, for future notes.
Okay, thank you.
So I'll copy you now.
And are you Amy?
Yes.
Hi, thank
Hi.
You. You've been really helpful.
Oh, sure.
All right. Mr. De La Roche, we'll hear from staff, and then we'll give you
sure.
an opportunity to respond.
Okay, can I ask a question? What case are we doing right now?
We're going to do all three.
They're all three different
But from what I understand, they're interrelated, and we'll be able to come to that conclusion after we hear for case number 15 if they're interrelated.
And just for clarification, if Beverly Appleby is here, as well as who else do we have?
Freehold Properties.
Someone representing Freehold Properties, Inc. Is anyone here for Freehold?
I have spoken with them, so.
Okay.
Was this a was this?
Beverly Appleby.
Can you raise your right hand, please? Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes.
Thank you.
Is this a complaint situation, or did you? Was there?
Yes, the owner.
Okay. The answer is, the general answer is yes, but just an overview, because maybe that'll help us understand where we are. What we're talking about here is we have a condo, Ocean Breeze condo, and two specific units we're bringing before you, and as we understand what condo ownership, you have the condo owners and you have the association, and that's why we have two owners and an association, but it's all related as far as the nature of what the violations are. It's, as you see, indicated on all three, interior surfaces, peeling, chipping, flaking, or abraded paint resulting from water damage. So okay. It's a water damage issue related. And what I would ask is if, I know that Mr. Delaroche has spoken with the inspector and they do have a plan on how we can remedy this. Right now, it's in noncompliance. I've had a brief conversation with Mr. Delaroche on yesterday, and with the understanding that the association had strong interest in trying to remedy the problem, but was having a challenge with the opportunity to enter the units to do that from the owners of those units. So they're working together, or at least that's my understanding, and that's what they want to present, so we have an idea of when they can get this remedy. So,
okay.
If we can hear from them, I think that would be where we want to go.
All right. Mr. Delaroche, yes, sir.
Hi. After speaking with Mr. Fitzgerald this morning, and our main problem was we're very interested in taking care of this water damage problem, but one or more of the homeowners would not allow us into the unit in order to take care of it. Mr. Fitzgerald has spoken with those unit owners, and they've agreed to allow the association in. He's of the opinion that this should take about a month to fix. I'm going on his expertise. I've never pulled a permit. I don't know how long it takes. It's been a long time since I've done drywall. But I think that we can probably have, with the cooperation of all the parties, this violation fixed within a month. We're very anxious to do it. We have money set aside to do it, but we can't barge into people's units. Yes, ma'am. I thought you had a question. I'm
not sorry. Not yet. Keep going.
Well, that's all I have to say.
Okay.
All right.
In clarification, when we say a month, I think what I hear from the inspector is probably about a week's worth of work, and once they can get in there, so this next cutoff should be fine.
Okay. Mr. Delaroche, are you representing Ms. Appleby?
No, I'm not.
Okay. All right.
In fact, we needed her cooperation, which we were not getting, and Mr. Fitzgerald got it for us this morning, I understand.
Oh, okay. Well, in all fairness, any questions for Mr. Delaroche before I allow Ms. Appleby to respond?
Yeah, I have a question. This is going to be fixed by the condo association.
Yes, ma'am.
From the fees collected by the condo homeowners. And these are all inside issues?
It's inside an exterior wall.
Inside an exterior wall.
It's
okay.
A part of the foundation
okay.
That they need permission to go inside to fix.
Okay.
Yeah, it would be impractical to break the exterior wall.
No.
I understand. The other side.
Okay. Some of the pictures look like they were outside and some look like they were inside.
The damage is coming. The water is seeping in.
Right.
It's damaging the interior portion.
Okay.
The association is going to address both the exterior and the interior.
Okay.
But they needed the cooperation
of the tenants.
Okay. Owners of the condo.
All right.
That's bringing the multiple
gotcha.
Cases.
Got it now. Okay.
One violation of multiple parties.
Right. Gotcha.
Okay.
Okay. All righty. Any other questions? Ms. Appleby, if you would step forward, please, and be sworn in. Oh, you're sworn in. Okay. Ms. Appleby, what would you like to tell us?
Yes, there are four separate leaks coming from water damage.
Okay.
The people upstairs flooded me with sewer that ran for 5 days straight, filling up the tub with sewer and overflowing the commode. The association would not stop it, would not turn off the water, would not get the people to leave. It's been 20 months and not one repair has been done. I've just been ignored. The second is there's a back wall and there's cracks in the concrete, and so every time a storm comes from the east, the water comes in and floods the floor. The third thing was the air conditioning. They put in a new air conditioning unit, but the condensation line or the drain pipe that pulls out about 5 gallons of water a day was clogged up, and they did not fix it, and for 1 year and 1 month, 5 gallons of water came into my home, and around my foundation was dark gray. There was so much water in it. In September, water started coming through my bathroom ceiling. The bathtub from upstairs, they had a broken pipe, so when they turned on the water and filled up the bathtub, it just came right down on the floor. These are four separate things, and the back wall is 24 months, the sewer is 20 months, the air conditioning was 1 year, 1 month, and the bathtub was from September. And they have ignored me. They won't give me the insurance people. The insurance that I called said that they do not have the type of insurance that's called for all other perils. The only insurance they carry is for wind and flood. So they're telling us we have insurance. We do not have insurance. And in the state of Florida, the departments up in Tallahassee said that I have the right to put through a claim with their insurance company if they will not do it for me. But there is no insurance, yet they are charging us for insurance. They're doing things so very, very wrong.
Those all have a scope of our duties.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha. All right. We wanted to hear from you because you were here, Ms. Appleby, but the matters that are before us today are with regards to the surface of the wall that's being addressed, and based upon the testimony of the attorney as well as our inspector, this is to be remedied. Is this next cutoff, Mr. Fitzgerald, or are we looking at December? Next cutoff. All right. These are to be fixed by November 6th so that the property can be brought into compliance. Any questions at this time from the board?
Yes. I don't understand why this individual is being brought before the board. It's a condo problem, correct?
Well, it is, but the damage...
It's not an association problem?
The damage is, from what I understand, you all can correct me, the damage is going inside of her unit. Therefore, she has to be cited because the damage is inside our unit.
That's law?
She understood that.
Okay.
Now, I need some clarification.
Remember, citing is all about ownership interests and who suffers the penalties, and she carries an ownership interest of this circumstance. Yeah. I mean, arguably, we can cite the whole individually, everyone in the condo, but that's no reason to do that. We have an association. But the principal ownership interest, especially for the internal aspects of a condo, will be the condo owner. So she has a right of notice and a right to be heard, and she should be the one cited, as well as the other unit. That's the unit, the unit with the water problem.
You lumped these all together. Does that mean that your contractor is going to fix each of these units, or only one of them?
It is my understanding that they're going to fix whatever is necessary due to the water leakage in both units. Now, the other thing that Ms. McDonald,
you have three units here.
Two units.
Well,
three people, two units.
Three
cases.
Plus two units.
Okay.
So we're going to look into the two units. We believe we have to enter both units, take out the interior wall, fix whatever the problem is, and recreate the wall.
Okay, so our decision here is going to enable you to fix both of the units.
Yes, we were not getting cooperation from one of the unit owners to begin the project, and it was worthless to do one without doing the other.
Okay.
So what is the case against the Ocean Breeze Homeowners Condo Association?
It's their...
I'm sorry, this is very confusing to me,
they're
and I don't like to see...
And the common area belongs to the association.
And the common area is all the outside walls.
Outside.
And that's where the problem's coming from.
It's also going inside, and the individual unit owners...
But it's inside because something wasn't taken care of on the outside.
We don't know that.
It's not... We don't know that?
Yeah, that's not the part we generally resolve. We resolve the fact that now we have a problem and we got to get it fixed by people who have ownership interests. The part... Whose fault it is, they deal with that outside of us.
Yeah, we've noted the problem. What's causing it. We need to get into the two units
to fix it.
If we did not secure participation voluntarily, my next step would be to go to circuit court to get an action to allow to have the court force us or allow us forced entry in order to fix this.
Well, you only have two people here. Who's the two people? Who's the people that won't let you in?
Freehold Properties has been in contact with Mr. Fitzgerald. One property owner is here, and the owner of the condominium association is represented by the attorney.
Whoever's not allowing, if I may just interject here, maybe give Luigi a little more clarity here. Whoever's not cooperating, that's not our concern.
Okay.
Our concern is, as a city, is that we received a complaint from this young lady here. We made our observations. There's an apparent leak coming from the external wall into the internal wall. Therefore, we had to cite the Homeowners Association,
okay,
who owns the common ground, the common area, okay, which is the shell of the building,
okay,
and the condo owner who owns the interior. While we were doing that, we find out that there was another apartment, another condo involved. So that's where... The initial leak was coming from that went into hers. So now both interior owners are being cited, as well as the condo association who owns the shell of the building.
So all we're finding is a non-compliance.
That's it.
Period.
We're asking for
and allow them some time to get it done.
And get them to the next cutoff to make the necessary repairs.
Okay. Any other questions from the board?
Yes. Thank you.
Yes.
All righty. Seeing none, Chair will entertain a motion finding the respondent in noncompliance, allowing the respondent until November 6th to bring the property into compliance or returning to the board for consideration of a fine up to $1,000 per day. And again, we want to note that case number 15, 16, and 17 are combined for this motion. Is there such a motion?
So moved.
Motion made by Mr. Smart, seconded by Mr. Bourne. Any discussion?
Yes. If it's not finished, I guess I can wait till next month to answer that question, but will you do the $1,000 fine on each case, on the homeowner's association, on the individual? Where will that fine go? We'll go
cross
that bridge when
we get there.
We've asked for the next cutoff, and that's normal. The procedure is.
Okay, that's correct.
Gotcha.
If we need to at the next cutoff,
we can break it up
in extension or in order to impose fine. However, we just want to make Mr. De La Roche aware that when the work is done, and I'm sure he's quite aware of it, it's a commercial building, necessary permits have to be pulled, and so forth.
That's why I asked his expertise and how long it takes to pull a permit.
Gotcha.
I said he can get it done in a month.
Okay.
And I'll pull permits. And I'm really sure that if I bring in pictures of a job site that's near completion on November 6th, I can't see the board voting to fine us $1,000 a day.
Let's cross that bridge when we get to it.
Let's not go down that road.
Good to see you, Charlie.
All righty. We taking a vote? Did we vote any? No. That was the question. All righty. Any other questions? Discussion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
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 All opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Thank you, Mr. De La Roche. Thank you, Ms. Appleby, for coming here today. All righty. That exhausts our items. Now we're at number 7 under miscellaneous business. Item number... Okay. All righty. Under miscellaneous business, we will... item number 2, noted on our agenda, is a discussion regarding 260 Williams Avenue.
Thank you. I'm sorry, I did not hear.
We're at number 2 under miscellaneous business, discussion regarding Williams Avenue, if you can direct us, Mr. Attorney.
It's the matter for...
Yeah, what happened was that they asked us to be placed on the agenda. I indicated it's time. It was not on the agenda, could not be discussed. Now, they place it on the agenda. If they want to bring something up,
They certainly can bring it up, but we can't, you know, at this point, the only time we could do anything is if the city brings it up.
Okay.
We're just doing courtesy by listening to them.
Yes, sir, if you could state your name, please.
Yes, my name's Peter Prutzman.
And Peter, if you can give us...
I'm sorry.
Go ahead, Amy.
P-R-U-T-S-M-A-N.
Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay, my name's Peter Prutzman. I've owned my house at 263 Williams Avenue since 1990. Been in Daytona Beach since 1976, and I'm a founding member of Bel Air Community Group, and I deliver 85 newsletters and take care of the stage for the meetings. Okay, I had a statement that I was going to read at the Will Fine hearing, but due to miscommunication, it was probably my fault. I didn't get to read it, so could I just do it real quick? Okay, Jenkins Tree Service, owned by Mike Jenkins, 260 Williams, across the street from me, started operating the business out of his house that's rented, and Greg Antonich, a REMAX broker, associate realtor, and former president of the Daytona Beach Association of Realtors and Volusia Property Owners Association, I couldn't get any response from him at this matter. So my first complaint was when Mike Jenkins started bringing tree trimmings back to 260 Williams and depositing them in the parkage, and I'm talking 10 trailer loads, which created a pile the whole length of the lot, 4 feet high. And then he started bringing parking trucks and trailers all around in my parkage, his parkage, and so I called code, and they said that he was in compliance because the trucks were under one ton, so they weren't commercial, and he could park there. So I looked up the code, and it says no vehicles, no trailers, or no recreation vehicles, boats, trailers, or the like must be parked behind the fence. So I started asking people if they could help me, and next thing I know, he had to move his business out of the house because people were showing up for work and all this. But anyway, and then the verbal harassment started. I can't walk out. I know that's not a code enforcement issue, but anyway, he's been harassing me. And as I stated, I'm invested in my neighborhood. I have a rental house next door that I own. And I don't think people should have to jump through hoops and pull strings and to try to get some action on issues. And finally, he is still doing pretty much the same thing. He's pulling his trailer and truck up in front of the house and parking it overnight sometimes. He's still got people showing up for work. So that's basically all I have.
So what you're saying is they won't bring this case to us.
Well, he's still parking. He's still having people.
What it is you want us?
Hold on, this is Mr. Harrington. Give an opportunity to speak. This case is not in front of us. The law specifically says it must be presented by them. So if he feels that they're not doing their job, their supervisor, they can talk to their supervisor, and then the case comes in front of us. But we can't tell him. We can't order them to bring the case to us.
No, I wasn't doing that. I'm trying to figure out what we're supposed to do. We're sitting here.
There's a will fine now in place, right?
Yes. Yeah, but he's still violating.
The matter has been addressed. It has been addressed. We've already dealt with it. He didn't have the opportunity to show up at that board meeting, and he just wanted to go on record letting us know of his stance, if you will, with regards to the property.
Thank you, Mr. Prutzman. Good morning.
Good morning, sir. If you can state your name and be sworn in for the record, please.
Big John.
B-I-G-J-O-H-N. Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Absolutely. I'd like to first compliment Code Board Amy over here, because I've had numerous conversations with her on the telephone, and she does a fabulous job. I'd like to thank Hector for bringing this case back so we could have our chance here to show you democracy in action. Chairman,
you should run for mayor, at least nothing less than city commission. You run a very efficient meeting. I go to more meetings than anybody else in the world, and they are mostly pretty crappy, and you do a heck of a job.
I'll pass, but thank you. Go ahead, sir.
I'm a friend of Pete. Now, I'm a friend of Pete's because Pete helps me take care of his house. And I hope you all appreciate the wonderful speech that Pete just made to you, because he's very nervous about making speeches. I'm more comfortable in this arena and not too good at fixing my house. So that's why I'm here. So in one of my many journeys to Pete's house to get one of our projects, whatever it was, I encountered Mr. Jenkins. And Mr. Jenkins is not our kind of people. Mr. Jenkins is loud, and he's a bully. So I took it up with Greg Antonich, who appears on my radio program from time to time, and he said that he thought that Mr. Jenkins was a nice fellow. Well, maybe he needed the money that badly. We love Greg Antonich. We don't care for Mr. Jenkins. Mr. Jenkins cut down the most beautiful cedar tree on that property. I thought you needed a permit to cut down a living, beautiful tree. So I'm thanking Hector for allowing me to come, because you did a will find, but your will find is not working. Pete calls the cops. Mr. Jenkins gives them all kinds of verbal abuse, makes all kinds of hand signals at them, and nothing's happening. I went over and took pictures myself, so Jenkins took pictures of my car. It's okay with me. And he said, I want to see you in court. I don't believe Mr. Jenkins is here. I think he's all hot air, and he doesn't care about your rules and regulations, and he's destroying Pete's neighborhood. So we'd like you to help. Thank you.
Yes, sir.
Thank you.
And I think Charlie's better in the vehicle stuff when he does traffic. You're a little defensive here, Charlie.
The statute says that, is that it shall be the duty of the code inspector to initiate enforcement proceedings, and that no member of the board shall have the power to initiate.
No. Mr. Jackson over here wrote me the most beautiful letter. Very nice, Mr. Jackson. Very nice.
I'd like to help you, but we don't have the authority as a board.
Well, we're trying to find out where we got lost in the crack. Even though this board did everything it could, we thought if we got on the public record, it was important to notify everyone that we haven't resolved the problem. Now, the chief of police, who works with Hector, said that we call the cops. And Pete, you can get up and he can raise his hand again. And he can tell you that he calls the cops. And then Jenkins runs out and has a nice conversation with the cops, and the cops go away. We'd like to know how to solve the problem. Is that close, Pete?
Yes.
That's right, yeah.
If it's a code enforcement issue, Big John, I'd recommend that you contact Mr. Garcia.
Well, we have on numerous occasions. He was nice enough to let us come here in a fairly irregular. I've contacted you. You told me to contact Hector, and I did. And no, you told me to contact the chief of police, which I also did. And then Hector is always involved. We know Hector more than he's a very nice person, but we really don't want to know him that much, you know, because we have other things to do besides defend the neighborhood.
Well, you asked, so that I can be straight, yeah. You asked who was code enforcement under, and I informed it was under the chief.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, but never to bypass.
You guys have been terrific.
Gotcha. Okay. Hector, you wanted to respond?
Just want you, Big John, and Pete to realize that by Florida state statute, by Florida law, we have to notice the owner. We can't notice the tenant.
No, that's fine.
The property owner has to maintain control of who, what, when, where, and why goes on his or her property.
Right.
So if the property owner isn't cooperating in the sense that you feel by doing something, evicting this individual or so forth, we can't demand him to do that.
Right.
However, we've gone out there, all my inspectors, that's all seven of them, at any given point in time, have gone out there, and we've addressed the issue. The other problem lies is that if they're parking there, per Florida state statute, parking ordinance, they have to mark the tire, and the vehicle has to remain there 24 hours a day. Mr. Jenkins knows how to play the game. That's fine. That's what it is.
The last time you told me two, didn't you?
Sorry?
2 hours?
No.
Oh. See, I don't know. That's a pretty bad ball.
If there's anything else that you would like to know administratively or anything else, just pick up the phone or we can step outside and we can...
Well, no, no, I don't want to step outside with you.
Step outside. I don't mean it in that.
Yeah.
Just talking about today.
Yeah.
Outside the chambers, and we can try to help you understand.
No, I understand all that. And by the way, I forgot Clegg over here. He's a wonderful person, too. So he's sort of the first of the code people. I just think that we should find a way that he can't park his big trailers. And all right, well, we'll talk outside. Yeah.
Again, but if they find a violation, they can bring it back in front of us. Since it's already been in front of us one time, we're allowed now to go back to the time. Not, we don't have to start new with the fine.
Okay.
We can start finding them back to when the first.
How about the tree? Can an inspector go out and look at the base of the tree?
Talk to them about it.
All right.
Yeah.
We really appreciate. Is that all we have?
Yes.
Yeah.
Thank you all for your time.
Thank you for our public appearance here. It's very exciting.
Thank you. I personally enjoy your show.
Don't admit it in public. I told you.
That's true.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you.
All righty. Next item under miscellaneous business, Ms. Kundig requested a discussion regarding the nuisance abatement and police user fees.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Oh, there are fees to use the police? I thought it was free, Sherry. It's not free to use your phone.
Do we get donuts in these extracurricular parts? Donuts and coffee would be nice.
Cool.
Look at this, Ouija. Wow. Oh, more.
Good morning.
Good morning. Officer Syracuse.
This is Officer Booth. He's with me in my office right now, and he's the one that also helped me gather all this for Ms. Kundig and for all of you. Just briefly, before we do the PowerPoint, what I gave you, the packet in blue, it talks about nuisance abatement. The one in red talks about user fees. And then the other one is the PowerPoint that we're getting ready to show you. The nuisance abatement ordinance talks is what we gave you are the ordinances. We didn't really give you any kind of additional information. We figure we'll just answer questions as it comes. But the packets are the ordinances and the statutes themselves. That's all that's in the packet. So for the PowerPoint, we're going to start off with nuisance abatement. Per state statute 893-138, nuisance abatement talks about drugs, prostitution, dealing in stolen property, and gang-related activity. A lot of people talk about nuisance properties. However, per state statute, if it does not fall under those four categories, nuisance is not the correct word to use. You can say a property is bothersome, things like that. However, to specifically state nuisance, it has to be those four type.
That means you can't.
Here, use this one. Here, John uses this one.
Oh, they're all turned off.
That's fine.
Can I clarify just on that one point? Actually, the term nuisance is not a problem. In fact, we actually use nuisance in our code in other areas. For instance, a barking dog is declared a nuisance under our code. There are things declared a nuisance, but the nuisance abatement is a term of art. It's a legal term that's used by Florida statute. And so when we talk about nuisance abatement from the perspective of what a nuisance abatement board does is very specific in the Florida statute to the statute that was referenced, the 893-138. And that statute specifically references the areas that Sherry pointed out, as well as they've added pain management clinics as well. And so that's really, when you start asking the distinction, that's the big distinction. Right. And either way, when you make a nuisance stop, you're abating a nuisance. So nuisance abatement is the function of stopping the nuisance, whether it's a nuisance as defined by saying it's a nuisance based upon the various code conduct, like I say, barking dog, loud noises, or even excessive trash, versus abating a nuisance by a statute as we relate to these specific areas under the Nuisance Abatement Board. So nuisance abatement boards exist solely by the authority of a state statute. Without state statute, we don't have any authority for a nuisance abatement board to act.
Okay. I know the question last meeting was, why hasn't it met in forever, in a while? Problem is, the requirements of the nuisance abatement board are so strict. For drugs, there has to be two or more sale and deliveries, which is the purchasing of drugs, plus either a third sale and delivery or then another felony drug within 6 months. And while we know, as a police officer, we know where the drugs are being sold, getting proof, you know, what we know and what we can prove are different things. So we have to get undercover cops or whatever to get these sales before we can even go on. So a lot of times we'll get one, maybe even the two, but either getting that third one in the felony within 6 months becomes extremely hard to do. We're actually really we actually have one going and another one really close. So, I mean, there's drug requirements there. Prostitution's the same thing. We know where these prostitutes are at, but a lot of times they're operating on public sidewalks right in front of the business, not on the property. So getting the three within 6 months is difficult.
Do the owners of these properties qualify for harbor membership?
For what?
Harbor, the, what do they call it? Harbord membership?
Just being sarcastic.
I'm just being funny.
I'm sorry.
Well, can I just say something too? Not to that point, but the one other thing that it's important to understand with nuisance abatement is that there is a civil action, something that happens outside of the action of the city, but it's not a city function. It's citizens coming up and saying this is a problem. And in the Florida statute, it's an injunctive action under Chapter 60. And it's also an authorized act under Administrative Procedures Act under 126.9. But primarily what you'd be looking at is if citizens said, well, okay, it may not be nine times, but it's happening in my neighborhood and I want it to stop, then they want to sit down with a civil lawyer and have them look at this, whether or not they can seek an injunction to abate the nuisance. So, and one of the things that's pointed out in the statute, in the criminal statute that relates specifically to these matters, is that even if we operate or wait for the criteria necessary for the nuisance abatement board, that doesn't stop a neighbor or a neighborhood from coming together and seeking injunctive action against conduct or activities that's continuous in their neighborhood. So people can do something that would be outside of us, but what we're limited to is what's given to the cities, municipal governments, by statute and then adopted by the city, which is what we've done. Every city doesn't do a nuisance abatement board, but that's what we've done with the nuisance abatement board. Arguably, what we've done concerning nuisance in general is what code enforcement is all about. Code enforcement abates nuisances, and that's why you guys exist, is that this continuous problem that needs to be remedied, that's been cited and identified, is brought before you and you deal with it.
And then, you know, properties can be gang or dealing in stolen property. And again, those become hard to prove, or like dealing in stolen property take months for our detectives to put a case together, and then they have to do two within 6 months. It's next to unheard of to be able to do. But the board can meet, and they can assess penalties just like this board can, and they can actually impose orders upon a property that can last up to a year, depending on the actions and what the problem is. But if nuisance abatement board doesn't apply, there's other options. Obviously, criminal arrests, a lot of these properties, the reason they're up for nuisance abatement boards is because of criminal activity, or why people want them to go to nuisance abatement boards for criminal activity. Code problems, I mean, that's, we address code problems, and that's how we, another way we look at them is send them here, because these all tend to come together. Or police user fees, and that's when we have to respond so many times. Our city ordinance allows us to charge.
Well, now we're changing sheets, right?
Yeah. It's actually all in the same PowerPoint, but yes.
It's the same PowerPoint, but now
different
we're on to the next packet.
Gotcha.
We're talking about user fees now.
This one.
No, yes.
This one. Okay.
The red one.
Okay.
Yeah. Our city allows, ordinance allows us to charge for excessive amounts of police.
That's excessive.
And it becomes very excessive. And when we print these off, we're talking like books. This literally 6 inches thick or more of calls within the 6 months to a year period. It's absolutely ridiculous, some of the places.
I got it.
But it's 15 incidents or 10 hours in 7 days or 30 incidents in 20 hours in a month. Or it's progressive. That's in the packet.
I don't think those fees matter ill beings to the people you're talking about.
No, but what it does...
they're making
the
money.
Owner.
They're making money on the crime. And it's more than written off by anything they're going to pay.
Can I say this? In the time that I've been involved with... I've been with the city since 99, and when I've seen use of fees used, most effectively have been with commercial properties. Right. You know, commercial landowners don't want to deal with... And first of all, they're the ones that... Typically, that's where we really have these high number of incidents of... going out, and they just don't want to have that as part of their reputation that they have that much going on. So it is effective there. Whether or not it's very effective with a single family owner that's high in drugs and everything else, ultimately,
Tony,
you get them with a single.
Tony, I'm not naming the names. I live on the golf course at the end of Wyoming. In the last week, we've had the chief tackle a murderer in front of one of these wonderful properties. We've had a kid involved in some kind of crime in one of them that wound up getting killed in Port Orange. And another thing going on this morning, I don't know what it is. When I drive, I leave at 6:30 in the morning. I get propositioned at least every other day. I must look like a good customer. But every time I stop at the red light on the corner of Wilder to take my left turn, there's somebody there actually pulling on my door to get in. I don't think it's any big secret that those people could care less in that.
And that goes back to the problem with nuisance abatement. All these people are operating out of these hotels, but they're doing it right on the city sidewalk, right up front. And
you know, can't cite the city.
I'm not an attorney, and I don't know what the RICO Act covers, but if I ever saw anything that deserves to be in the RICO Act, it's
well, I don't cover that much.
But we'll say that, you know, as he pointed out, I think it's the good point of saying that there are multiple remedies, and I think you pointed, even what you've said is pointed out, utilizing those, some being law enforcement action, and others, typically with the user fee, it's very common, it's very uncommon for y'all to even hear about, you know, the public to hear that even a user fee has been imposed.
Right.
I hear about them because someone's coming to try and challenge it, and many times they're paying it and saying, here's what we want to do to change, how can we stop getting these fees, which is what you would like to see happen.
Mm-hmm. The packet tells about how we bill user fees. Basically, anything beyond the threshold that we've set gets billed for every man hour. And the goals of user fees are simple. They're to recoup the cost of investigations. I mean, obviously, extensive law enforcement services are being taken out there. To bring properties in compliance, which is the ultimate goal of all these boards. And then to compel the property owner to do what's right, to make their property better for them and the city. And it's the same as this board. And Mr. Brown says it all the time. We're trying to nudge them in the right direction. So.
Yeah, I have questions. I know that in some other cities, now this isn't up to us to do, this is up to our commission to do if they want to, they have what they call nuisance property laws as opposed to nuisance abatement. I understand nuisance abatement is run by the state and all that. But in certain cities like South Daytona and Gainesville, they actually have in their code nuisance property laws, which address some of these issues that aren't covered by nuisance abatement. So, you know, I just wanted to take a look at this, and I was not aware that we had police user fees. That's good to know. I mean, it seems to me 15 incidents in a 7-day period. I think you could make it 2 incidents in a 7-day period. I mean, but that's the law. That is in our code. So I guess that my questions need to be addressed to the commission.
Right.
Because it has, not that I haven't tried to do it. And I don't think people are aware that we have these police user. I wasn't aware anyway. That doesn't mean nobody is, but I'm glad to see this because I think that this threshold is very difficult to reach for a police user
and
fee.
The police user.
I mean, the reason I asked the question is because there are houses where the police have to go over and over and over. On my street, on everybody's street, evidently. And, you know, yes, code can be involved because, yes, there are code violations. But if we don't have the laws in our code, then it doesn't address this stuff. So I guess that's where I need to go. I get it. Because I do know the difference between nuisance abatement, state nuisance abatement law, although... And that's too strict, too, but we can't change that. And then this, the nuisance property, because I know other cities, well, I don't care what they call it, they have stricter laws, and these fees kick in a lot. And I don't know whether that has to come under code or whether it's just a police issue.
Well, recognize, just by its definition, a nuisance is going to be something that's excessive. And so
right.
Defining an excess is different.
Right.
And so... The push is to put it out there where it really offends someone that it's occurring, the public at large. So, you know, 2 probably would be offensive, but not so offensive that you wouldn't expect tax dollars to take care of it. But 10
okay.
or 12,
right.
you're saying, yeah, it's taking my money to deal with this personal problem
right.
as it relates specifically
right.
to the use fee issue. But likewise, even with the whole aspect of the general nuisance as you
mm-hmm.
probably referenced, you know, what's the outside parameter and what's the enforcement? I don't know what those other jurisdictions have in those areas, so
right.
you know, that may be we may cover it somewhere else. I don't know,
okay.
but the fact that you're saying they're blocked as an identifiable set of problems,
right.
I'm not sure
yeah.
what
okay.
that means.
And we do have some sort of tool similar to that. For example, with the lot clearances.
Mm-hmm.
We have
yeah.
an ordinance in our city that if for example, Officer Saracusa owns 123 Main Street and we send her a notice to cut her grass. Her grass is high, you know, she's got debris out there and whatever. She doesn't do it. We have and mind you, it's one contractor to cover the entire city, but we have the right to go in there after her being put on 10-day notice. We can go there and cut the grass and clean the property.
Mm-hmm.
After that's been done, if it occurs again, we don't have to put her on notice. We just go
okay.
and do it.
Mm-hmm.
Cut it and
put a lien on the property.
Mm-hmm.
So we do have certain things in play, but again, you know, different jurisdictions, like you just mentioned, and I'm not sure because I haven't seen their ordinance,
right.
but I'm just going to use South Daytona as
okay.
an example, may classify it as a nuisance property.
Right.
And that's what they're doing. If they need to go in there and cut the grass, they need
right.
to go in there and clean
right.
it up, they can.
Right.
However, again, everyone assumes, well, it's a nuisance property, and we have a nuisance abatement, but I think now...
you all have a better understanding of what exactly the nuisance abatement law is. We've mimicked the state statute into our ordinance.
Right.
So there are certain parameters and there are certain things that have to fall into play in order to classify that. I mean, when we between these two officers and myself, we get complaints and we start looking, and it's, you know, the manpower alone to have to look at it to see if in fact it does qualify
and we
a
consider,
commercial business or
we consider all these options. I mean, we send
right.
working
we
together, we send code out.
Mm-hmm.
We start pulling
mm-hmm.
cases to see if they can be billed.
I've been doing the nuisance abatement for, as Charlie's position, as counsel to the board, since 06, I believe, maybe 05, well, 06, since 06. The times that we've used it, it hasn't been a lot. And the history of it is it just hasn't been used a lot, and not because they don't want to use it, but because of that criteria.
Mm-hmm.
The times it's been used, it's been very effective. We used it for what was then the Pink Pony, which caused them to leave, and then Diamond Dolls came in. But you know, it was effective, and we've used it for, you know, businesses and clubs, and they've come and they've came with attorneys and hadn't been able to overcome the effects of it. Basically, what happens with a nuisance abatement case is that if they're declared a nuisance, then we're able to make the recommendations for what it would take to abate that nuisance. Put more lighting, add a fence, put poles so people can't, and you may have seen some places where people used to hang out in front of stores and then they put fences up or they put poles up or they make them move their glass so they can view them better. And so there's things that can be done that makes it more pleasant, doesn't necessarily shut it down. Sometimes we've reached that point where we've shut businesses down, but it doesn't have to shut them down if you can find a way to make them more responsible through these processes. And so we've been utilizing it that way. And then the other thing is what we've seen, or what I've seen since 06, is the reduction of the number of nuisance cases are really related to the increase in law enforcement action, because they do one, they do two, and by the time we get enough, they've wiped out the folks who were in there, and it's, you know, maybe it may have gone four of us down, but that place is not the problem anymore because they've taken all the folks out through operations.
We also notify every time we find one, we notify them after arrest one, so if they're willing to be these properties that want to clean up, they take that opportunity to. So,
yeah, some recent case law, when I say recent, since I've been there, had made point of noting that if you want them to abate a nuisance, you got to tell them that they have a nuisance. And so we make sure, we say, hey, guess what? Just in case you don't know, many of them, unfortunately, are out-of-town landowners or property owners. Just in case you don't know, you had these things happen at your property, and this is your first notice.
Right. Well, Neil, what I would encourage for those who pull on your door at the stoplight, pull into the property so they're doing it on the property and not on the street right away.
I have one more question. The drug requirement, any of these, be the site of more than two incidents. What does incidents mean? Sorry.
The statute doesn't specifically say it has to be an arrest.
We just
have to be able to show that it occurred. So they don't want to say arrest because it doesn't have to be arrest, but we have to show that it occurred somehow.
Yeah, I mean, it's a legal argument.
Right.
I mean, it's an event.
Right.
How many times did this happen?
Right.
If they all happen in one set, is that good enough?
And the
way that nuisance abatement board is set up by statute, it's an attorney. In our situation, it's an attorney who does some defense work, and he kind of becomes defense-oriented at times. But in his effort to be fair, because we really have the burden, and we should, you know, we're the government, we should carry our burden. So he makes sure that the city has the burden, carries his burden, and so that we're ultimately still making sure we're fair to the property owner. I mean, we don't want just a disgruntled neighbor bringing it, and that's the reason we're there. We want that we've looked into everything, we made the determinations necessary, and we're going to put a stop to the bad activity.
So incidents is up to interpretation. It doesn't have to be arrests.
That's the better answer. It doesn't have to be an arrest. Just have to be able to prove that event occurred. It's easy to prove it if you actually made an arrest. It's a lot harder to prove that it happened if you went there. Well, all that was happening, you didn't arrest anyone?
Right.
You know. It's a factual issue.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you all for your presentation.
Thank you.
Any other questions? All right. As we are at our close,
Thank you.
Other items from staff?
Just want to bring to light, I know I spoke to Ms. Kundig about a week and a half ago, and it was brought out that I should look into possibly having another training on code enforcement, and for the benefit of Ms. Lucas also, as being a new board member, I'm looking to possibly have it sometime in either January or February, more than likely February, because January I'm pretty booked up already. But I'm going to try to put that class together, have an outside attorney come in. Tony and Charlie know who it is. Mary Sneed, she came in the last time, did a very well, good presentation, broke down what code enforcement can and cannot do and so forth. So, you know, to answer your question.
We can make that a public meeting.
Yes, I will.
There so the public understands what our function is.
Goes to the conference, the FACE conference, the class that you all went to this year, means that she's a new board member. She'll get to go to Tampa for her day class. So,
all right. Any other items from staff? Mr. Harrington?
Oh, I did learn that having a nuisance property qualifies you for the tourist board.
Mr. Smart.
No, I'm just wondering about Mr. Harrington, his neighborhood there.
Yeah,
yes,
dangerous place to live.
If you don't believe him,
what's his name?
We believe him, trust me.
I got you. Mr. Barnes?
Yeah.
Anything? Ms. Lucas?
I'll be
Ms. Kundig? Mr. Sino? We are adjourned.